Hello.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning.
Abby.
Hi, Gary. Aaron. Yes, I found an interesting thing about what we were discussing. Whether Lovan had some good element in him, or whether he was a complete rusher, and everything he said was just a lie. So I found that Chevelle brings down an interesting thing. And I think it's this very question. So Chevelle is in, on the pasuk of Nechmeru Rachamav, but in his notes, okay.
Me and Rabbi Chevelle on the Ramban.
Yep. You're on the pasuk of Ki Nechmeru Rachamav. So, yeah, one second. So he says, B'sefer HaKsav HaKabal, Toma al Rabbeinu, Lomo Nahafoch B'schus Adam Rasha, Shenemar Alov, B'Kabala, Shoyetzor Yehuda Yosef Miparo. So he was bothered with why we're trying to be Malamed Tzchusanam. Why we're being Mahapech V'Tzchuso. So then he brings down, so Chevelle asks, he says, yeah. We're astounded on about his question. Kizu minayin lanu sherabenu sover omnom ki hayu pivulibo shavim shalovan shavim va'adarabah. Mimasha Rabbeinu Mahapech B'divri Lovan Liyaposon Mitzad Minasof Olachutz, just on the outside, Ubulibo Choshev Lakar Ako Halomi Zerinu Hazen Halomi Zeraya Lugodo Lugodo Remiuso. So what do you see from the Ksav and the Kabbalah? That he held that it wasn't just a lie. That even though the Ramban says that he said it at Kimisnatzil, not every isnatzus is a lie. In other words, it was real, but he used it also as an isnatzus. He didn't have to tell him. He told him because he was using it as an isnatzus, but the isnatzus wasn't completely false. He was sincere. He didn't make it up. So that's why the Ksav and HaKabbalah is bothered with why the Torah is Mahapech Peschusa, shows you a good part of him. So you see, it's a machlokes. But the Ksav and the Kabbalah holds that even though the Ramban says that it was a isnatzlus, not every isnatzlus is a lie. He used it to defend himself, but it was really true. that it really was Nichmaru Rachamov, and that those emotions were real. You see, what bothers me, if you don't say that, is what do you have to make that gal for? Why did he need the gal? If he just wanted to defend himself. So he could have stopped after that first statement. That I only came after you because I have a love for my daughters. But that would have been an answer. But why does he have to have this whole gal business? So you'll say it's to further the phoniness. But then it says, why does it have to tell you Vayinashik Levanovil of Nozov Vayavarach Hasan? So you'll say again, it's more to further. It's just too much. And you see, I think I left a message by Aaron, but you'll see if you take a look at the last
sworn note to the group, Rabbi, by the way. I sent that sworn note to the group.
What's that?
I sent this sworn note to the group text message. I sent it out to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we all took a look at it.
Oh, you mean so everybody has it?
Yeah, they have it.
That what?
Yeah, they have it. They all have this for now.
Who does it?
No, everybody has it. I sent it out to them, right?
I didn't get it.
But you I sent it out.
He sent a picture of it on the group chat so we could all see it.
Oh, I see. Very good. So he says like this. He says that just a second. Here it is. And he says Vayivarech Hashem. So he says Kvar Amoran Al Tehi Birchas Hedyot Kala Beinecho. Okay, so that's why the Torah mentions that he blessed them. Because he shouldn't think that a Birchas Hedyot is kal. So even his bracha has a value and had a value. So that alone would show that he was sincere. Because you only say that if there's a sincerity and if there's some value in it. So that itself shows that he held it was good in love on. Omnom, he says, Basiper Birkus love on Levnosov. Why does the Torah tell you about Lovan's bracha to his daughters? Lahoros Shebirkas Ho'ov. Asher he al bonov b'chol nafsho b'li suffik roi she tachol yoser b'igolas selam alakim. In other words, that's a method of bracha, but I'm not going into that. But he says that the bracha of the yov on bonov b'chol nafsho. So apparently, when Lavan, according to the Sfona, it's quite clear that when Lavan blessed his daughters and his offspring, that it was b'chol nafsho. So if he was really a total Russia and had such a hatred for the Derech HaEmes, I don't believe he'd be able to be mevarech them b'chol nafsho. That would be like saying a person who, Rachmanus Lon, has a child that goes off to another, that's a mishumet, that he could bless him b'chol avava b'chol nafsha. No, it's not possible. So you see, according to the Sephorno, you have to say that at that moment, he really recognized the good. And he had total ava for his daughters and for his grandchildren. And that would show that he does have a relationship to the good. That he does have a relationship to the good. Yeah, just give me a second. The only thing was that the endless greed, when it took over, it put him in a rage where he could kill somebody. As a matter of fact, that's why he built the Gao, because he knew that, and he didn't want that to happen. So he knew if he made a shvua, that would stop him. But that shows. But that shows you that there was emes in his commitment, in his recognition of his children, his daughters, and his offspring. Just there. There's something I wanted to add to that. Yeah. Moreover, I think I mentioned, Hanukkah reminded me this morning that you see that Rachel stole the trefim. So why did she steal the trefim? Because she wanted to be Mahzer, Lovan Lamutov. So apparently she held that he had something, he had good in him. As a matter of fact, enough good to be able to change over and become a tzaddik. So that again shows that in Lavan wasn't total vicious, but that in Lavan there was also good. Moreover, there's something else in this parsha, because why did Lavan have to tell Yaakov that the reed that he told him that the reason why he's not killing him is because God came to him in a chalom.
Pasuk Chaf Tes, Rabbi?
Pasuk
Chaf Tes?
Chaf Tes?
Yeah, Yesh L Yadi?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yesh L Yadi? Lassos in Machamra. Okay, Avisan. Omnam. Let me see. Yesh Lael Yodi Lassos in Machamra. Veloke Avisan, Emesh Omar Elai Lemar, Ishomalocha, Midaber Yaakov, Mitov Adra. So why did he have to say that? Why did he reveal that he was stopped by God? Why didn't he make himself look better? That he stopped himself. So that would seem to be that there was ambivalence there. That there were parts that recognized Venice, and nevertheless, he was overpowered by his emotions and his endless greed. And when he was overpowered, he can go into a rage, a killing rage, and destroy even his own offspring, even his own daughters and his own offspring. But he wasn't cool or ra. That's why I think that the Ksav and the Kabbalah is right. That it's true, it's a snatzlus, but the snatzlus was true. The snatzlus was true. And the Ksav and the Kabbalah says, that why does the Torah, according to the Ramban, why does the Torah have to mahapech b'schuso? Why does it tell us that? But I think the answer is very simple. The answer is to show you that you can't just write off a person so simply. Even Mavan Arami, that was a Russia Gomer, but nevertheless, I shouldn't say Gomer, that was a Russia and he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, but nevertheless, it was Tov. It was good. He had good also, he had a good side also. Most people like to just look at a person black and white, but you see the Torah doesn't do that. The Torah recognizes that even a Russia can have a tzad that's tzidkis, and that this tzad has to be recognized. And when God judges him, he judges him based on both sides, and that's the mishkal that he weighs the averus kenegah the schuyos. Okay. All right, any questions? Yeah, somebody wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just thought maybe there's another raya from the Ramban.
Yeah.
For what you're saying, that the Ramban on pasuk mem vav.
Yeah.
So it says Vayomer Yaakov l'Echav. So Liktu Avanim, and Yaakov told Echav his brothers to gather stones. Right, yeah. So there's like a little bit of a problem there because who's the Echav, right? Who's Yaakov's brothers?
Right.
So, Rambam, you know, goes through different. One of his interpretations is he says these are the talking kimash amar belavan vayikach es Echav imo. So Lavan took his own brothers to go chase after Yaakov.
Right.
Says hinkrovav b'nei mishpachto mizera nachor achi Avram. So they're like Lavan's relatives. I guess they're related to Yaakov also.
Right.
So he says, v'asakein, so why did Lavan take his like relatives to chase after Yaakov? V'avur shlo yirtza l'havia Yaakov anashem nachram. Because he didn't want to bring on Yaakov like strangers. Shlo yarivu imo b'koach. Because then they're going to like fight too strong against him. O yachmedu v'yigzilu v'yignivu me'asher lo. Or they're going to take Yaakov's money, they're going to steal his stuff. So like Lavan specifically took people who were like related to Yaakov so they wouldn't like fight too hard with Yaakov or take his money and stuff.
So go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just interesting that Ramban, I mean, I guess it's like a derech pshat, but it doesn't seem according to this way of learning Lavan that he was coming to kill Yaakov. It seems like
You mean
right?
Two people that would have rachmanis.
Right. Like you're right. Even when he went back to his town in order to get people to chase after Yaakov, he specifically took people who wouldn't be too harsh against Yaakov because he didn't want a mob to go kill Yaakov or take his money or his daughters or whatever, you know. So he specifically took his relatives, Yaakov's relatives, so that they wouldn't go too far. But you see, like according to Ramban, at least one shot. That he's not just going there to kill everybody. At least, even initially, he wasn't trying before the nevuah or whatever. Before God came to him.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. Where's the Ramban?
It's on pasuk mem vav by Yom Yaakov Lechov Liktu Avanim.
I mean, who was Echov?
Right. The problem. Who's Echov? Who's Yaakov's brothers?
Right. That means they were Lavan's brothers.
Right, so that's Ramban saying they're both their relatives and both of them, because Yaakov and Lavan are related. So Lavan took his relatives, Yaakov's relatives too.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good way.
Right, just a question now, maybe, based on, I guess, the Pasuk or Rashi.
Yeah, which Pasuk?
But like, it's on Pasuk, I guess, yeah, Yudalid and Tezvav, where like, you know, Yaakov goes to Rachel and Leah in the field and tells them he wants to go.
Oh, right.
And they say, how lanu chelik v'nachala b'yisavinu, halo nachrios nachshalni lo ki macharanu. Right?
Right.
So Rashi there says, afil b'shash ederech b'nei adam lo seiz neduni l'vnosa, b'shash nisua nagi manu ki nachrios, ki macharanu lanu b'schar pa'ula. So, I mean, it's not really a question because, I mean, Lavan is ambivalent, but isn't it like if it's, What are, you know, what are they saying? They're saying that he's like, he's treating us like strangers? Or he treated us like strangers?
That he treated them like strangers because he took money for them, you mean?
Yeah, like he sold them. Instead of giving them like an adunya, he in fact sold them for 7 years of labor.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm, so it's not really a question, just it seems like on the one hand, even if you want to say he has rahmanus, on the other hand, he also is treating them like not even family in a certain sense when it comes to money or something like that. Like
he sold them.
Yeah, right. What happened to his love for them that he...
Right, he used right, I mean, them commercially.
Right.
Like a commodity.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess that's possible. I mean, he could have, in certain situations, have rahmanas, but, I mean, in the other situations, treat them totally yeah, like a commodity and not like a...
Which pasuk is that?
That's on pasuk Tesvav.
Tesvav.
Right.
Yeah, just Pasuk Tesvav. Yeah. Halom Nochrius Nachshav Nalo Kimachorano Ayochol Gamachol Askaspeno. So it shows you. So who says Rashi says?
Yerashi.
Yerashi. Vishosha Derech Bnei Odom Loseis Nedunya Livnosov Beshas Nisuin Nahagi monokinachrios, kimacharano, loch shavarta also, yudal chonim, alana sana, sana loch, beschar apula, alana sana loch ella beschar apula. Okay, right. You're right. So apparently they always held that against them. They always held that against them. So you see that he was an ambivalent character. But they recognized that. They held it against him. But they realized that he was an ambivalent personality. So then you're right. That's a good writer. That shows you that they realized that they were dealing with an ambivalent character. And therefore, they held it against them in their hearts. And then when the time came, and they wanted to leave, and Yaakov said that he complained about Lavan, that he was unfair, wanted to rob them. So they brought that out. So they always harbor those feelings. So there again, you see that they didn't bring out those feelings till the moment that Yaakov complained. But they always harbor their resentment in their hearts. So you see again the ambivalence of human nature. The ambivalence of human nature. That they harbored it in their hearts, but they didn't, it wasn't active in their minds. But the moment Yaakov said that, Lavan wants to rob them, so then they brought it up. That's a good writer. That's a good writer. It shows you that human nature in general is ambivalent, because they didn't complain about that before. Only when Yaakov said that Roa Nochis from Avicham, he named it away like a small shilshon. And when he went through his whole argument against the Lavan, then they brought that up. So they always had it in their subconscious, so to speak. But they didn't bring it out. It wasn't active. That's very good. Yeah.
Well, would they? The mere fact that Yaakov had to convince them shows that it wasn't a double pashut, that he was so terrible. I mean, he had to make a case and explain to them. It was obvious and clear that he was just a rusher. It would have been easy. There wouldn't have been any need for him to make this whole case.
That's true. That's true. You mean the mere fact that he had to make the case?
Yeah. I always wondered, like, it doesn't, you know, what's the, they all know what Lavan is. Apparently, it's not so pashut.
That's right. It seems like he has to convince them.
Yeah.
Why does he have to convince him if he was such a clear-cut Russian? So apparently he was a Russian, he was a Rami, but there was a good side to him also. And that's correct. I mean, that's why Yaakov had to make a case against him.
So, Rabbi, what does it mean when it says love and be kish la korsa kol?
Yeah, it doesn't mean that it's not true. I mean, he did get into a fit of rage, and he wanted to destroy them, but that was a momentary fit of rage because of the other side overpowered him.
And the transit wasn't inherent, or just it was conditional, or because he's depicted as someone that's, you know, an anti-Semite that wants to uproot everything and destroy the people. So was that just a temporary thing, you're saying?
No, I'm saying that it's not as simple as it sounds. It's true that he was a Russian because the endless greed side can come into motion, can come into action. That's why he was a Russian. But it doesn't mean that he didn't have another side also.
Right. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So his anti-Semitism was not ideological?
Was not ideological.
You seem to be saying that it was just because of a power thing or a greed thing.
It seems to be a greed thing. As a matter of fact, that's why I say that the fact that he gave them a bracha, b'chol levavo, shows you that he had a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he did have a recognition. And sometimes he was moved into that recognition, and he had ava. So it wasn't against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a greed thing.
But isn't it also similar to Reuven? So when sending to Yosef, he said, "You'll kill my two sons," and Yaakov said, "You're tippish. Not only your two sons, he's my two sons. So it's not helping me." So it seems like Levin, as the old saying, he was cutting off his nose to spite his face, or you know, however it goes, that saying.
No, over there, he what bothered Yaakov was that he made that statement, that he lost himself for a moment. He really didn't think into it. He lost himself for a moment. So that's why Yaakov said, "I can't trust you because you lose yourself."
But and really, I can't trust you because your argument doesn't make sense because you're telling me to kill my two kids also, Yaakov's saying.
Yeah, but that wasn't the reason.
When he wants to kill everybody, he's killing him. Part of him. He's killing part of himself.
Yeah, but you're not listening. I'm saying Reuven knew that too, and Reuven understood that too. But Yaakov's complaint was that it came out of his mouth. The fact that it came out of his mouth shows that he loses control sometimes. He's not a good shliach. That's what Chazal would say a lot of times. Lo yerei b'ni imachem. Why? Because if a guy loses himself, he's not the guy that he can trust to send. It's not that he really believed that. It's just he burst out that way emotionally.
Bachas kamayim.
It wasn't a thought-out plan. It was an emotional outburst. So Yaakov said.
Right, so I'm saying, isn't this the same thing? It's not a thought out plan that I want to kill everybody in my family?
No, that's different. Over there, there's no rationale to it. It was an outburst. It wasn't a misstatement. Over here, though, he could get under the power of the influence of the greeter and actually do it.
But what does he wind up with after he kills everybody?
That's not the point. The point is that he has the power to do it. Yesh le'el yadi. So that's a different thing completely. It's two different things that you can't compare even. One is where a guy slips and when what he says, which shows you that he's not trustworthy because he can make a mistake in his speech. And the other one is where a guy can make a mistake because he's overpowered by his greed and really do terrible harm. That's two different people.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying that it's not ideological against Kol Yisrael, it seems.
No, I'm saying it's not ideological because he blessed them b'chol levavo b'chol nafsho.
Right. So how do we compare Paro, who wanted to destroy Kol Yisrael, and Lavan, even though Lavan wanted to do more, it's not comparable because it's apples and oranges.
It's not comparable, but in terms of the existence of Kol Yisrael and the Hashgacha, it comes out to the same thing. Because if he would have gotten out of hand, and he could have destroyed everything. So
right.
You see the Hashgacha stopped him. But you don't recognize that because he doesn't come off as a overtly evil person. On the contrary, what the Baal HaGadol is trying to show you is that the Hashgacha saved us.
But it doesn't matter the cause of our getting destroyed, just that we would have possibly been destroyed.
That's right, exactly. That's right.
But it's interesting that we could have gotten destroyed on a whim or because of somebody's greed.
It's interesting that what?
That we could have been destroyed on a whim or somebody's greed, as opposed to, like I say, an ideological...
That's correct. As opposed to Paro.
Right.
So, but still, what difference would it make if it would make us non-existent?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really helpful clarification with the Haggadah, because otherwise it's very hard to understand Lavan as the paradigm of anti-Semitism, which is how it's often construed. But you're showing you don't have to say that in the Haggadah. It's just an illustration of the Hashgacha saving us.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, there's one more interesting thing that was bothering me. And by the tone, Yaakov did the sticks, however he did it. But the question is, why isn't that Gezel? If he knew he has the way of doing it, whatever the way was, and he's not disclosing it to Lavan, wouldn't that be Gezel? So that question bothered me. So I took a look at the Ramban. The Ramban is bothered by it too. Want to take the Ramban? It's very interesting.
Sure.
Where's the Ramban?
Pasuk Rabbi?
Yeah, where's the Ramban? Hold on.
Pasuk Lam and Zion, Rabbi?
Pasuk Lam and Zion, what does it say?
Baika Ho Yaakov Maka Livna.
What para?
Kevin Lamed.
Lamed, yes. What does Ramban say?
Kevan shehiskimu liyoschara be'ila hayarashai lasos koma sheyucha laholidam kain.
Interesting. Stop right there. So you see, he's bothered by that question. That how could he do that if the loved one didn't know? So it's Gnevas Das, and as a matter of fact, it's probably Gezel, because he didn't agree to that. He didn't know about it. So the Ramban answers that. What is the answer?
Once they agreed that that would be his schar, and he was allowed to do whatever it took in order to make them be born in that way.
It's an interesting thing. What does he say next?
The ulai hisne Yaakov sheyase behen komash yirtza ki lovan lo hayodea batolada hazo.
Yeah. So according to the second shot, he was still bothered. So
yeah. Sounds like he's misupor. Sounds like Ramban's not sure whether that first thing is legitimate or not.
Right. So that's why right. He adds on that he told them that whatever I could do, I'm allowed to do. That was part of the deal. I really wonder Alocha L'maisa if that's true. If he owes Alocha L'maisa. If you have a partnership and you know something that the partner doesn't know in the deal. Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean the partner, I mean you're a competitor. and you know something he doesn't know, and you tell him, you say, look, we're going into this deal, and we each can do whatever we have to do. And you have something that he doesn't know that you're doing, and you're using against him. Is that considered Gneivas Das or not? I'll begin. It's an interesting thing. From this Ramban, it would appear that it's mutter. As long as you say...
Maybe.
As long as, I mean, according to the circumcision, even. That if you say to him, if it's made up, that whatever I want or whatever we could do, we have a right to do, so then it's not considered gezel.
But maybe you could just say, though, that, like, Lavan was a real Rami, and Yaakov was just, like, almost, like, Lavan changed it 100 times in terms. So, like, Yaakov almost had no choice but to, like, just defend himself, or else he would have had nothing. You know, like, maybe if your partner was an honest person, it wouldn't be right to do this to him. But if you're dealing with Lavan, like, maybe you have no choice but to try to, you know, just make it fair.
Yeah, but how's he making it fair?
He's getting his share, but Lavan keeps changing on him. What options does he have if he doesn't?
How do you do it the first time?
First time, Lavan changed it even before the first time.
So why does Ramban say that?
Well, I'm saying maybe you technically have to work it out why it's not gezel, but it's not really ethical. If your partner was an honest person, maybe it wouldn't be. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you have to work out, like, how it's technically not gezel. If they make it tonight, then it's technically not gezel, but still it's not ethical if the person, your partner's honest, and you're not.
But I'm wondering how begin, though. How begin if that's gezel. You can't say because you're dealing with a dishonest person, so in order to even the score, I'll steal. I mean, if he cheats
no.
you, then you can steal back. But here it seems Ramban is bothered by Akasha. How could he do that? It seems he holds that if you make up that whatever I'm going to do, whatever I can, and he agrees that it's not gezel, even though he doesn't
right.
know it's specific. What do you have in mind? I mean, I don't know. It's
right.
much more like that.
But you're just asking whether I'll be din, whether it's mutter or not, not whether it's like a good thing to do or not.
That's correct.
Right.
In other words, if you specify to a competitor, we're going into this deal, and I'm allowed to do, you're allowing me to do anything I can to win my case. So even though you have hidden in your heart something that he doesn't know, it's mutter. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing with Ramban. But reread the last part of Ramban. He doesn't seem to. He's not too happy with it.
Do you want me to reread what I read, Betty, or just go further?
Go further.
Okay. The Haro and Lo Hayumargisha Medavar. So the shepherds, they didn't realize what was going on. Birosan Makulas Barhatim Pamachas Bishana Bimenisan. So just once a year, they didn't notice what Yaakov was doing.
I mean, so they didn't record it back to Lavan.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The Yesh Omrim, Ki Hashana Harishona, Noldu Yaakov, Nekudim Utlun, Rabim, Birkas Hashem. So the first year, he got a lot.
You skipped.
I know. Okay, I'll read it if you want, Marshall. So when the tzon was in the second one, he didn't do it. He only did it once a year, not twice a year, because he doesn't want Lavan to have zero. That's not going to make Lavan happy. So he only did it once. Okay, the Yeshomrim ki b'hashana harishona nozul Yaakov nekudim utulim rabim b'irkas Hashem. So the first year, Yaakov had a bounty because, like, the, I guess, Ashkachas Hashem.
And he didn't do
Asher
it.
Asher Herlohim.
He didn't do
without
it.
Without even doing it. Right.
Of course, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
But he seems to hold over there that you're not allowed to do anything tricky. Okay, go ahead.
Right. They say that's the Radak's father who has this shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Go ahead.
V'sam hamaklos v'fnei elu shahayu shalo sheyulidu bidmusam. So he just did it in front of his own tone so that they would give birth to ones that are similar to their themselves. The striped ones would give birth to striped ones.
Right.
Shul Yomer Lavan, Kasher Yivaldu. So Lavan shouldn't say, when, like, let's say a regular sheep was born to his speckled ones, Kiganavu Ito, that they're stolen.
Right.
So he just did it to prevent Lavan from accusing him falsely. So he made sure that all his sown were striped and spotted.
That's right, but the reason why he really won, why he got so many, that was Hashgacha.
Right.
That's the best shot. So the Ramban brings that down because apparently he holds that would be wrong to be going to Das, or maybe even Gezel, if he did something sneaky. According to that, according to the last shot. It's an interesting thing about Lachal Amaisa.
Right. In his first shot, he's saying it's fine.
Yeah, first shot, he's saying it's fine.
He doesn't even need it tonight, according to the first shot. He's saying you don't even need it tonight. Once they were masking him, this is the deal. Whatever, you know, he's allowed to do whatever he wants to do.
Right. That's right. So you see he has three Svekas here.
Where
the first case where he just made the deal. Second case is where they spoke out that he could do whatever he wants. And the third case is that he can't do it at all. An interesting thing about Lachal Amaisa. And he's Mesupik.
Question on this, Rabbi?
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, it's modern day today. So let's say a person somehow does not know about email, and you're going to go into business, and each one, the two partners, are going to try to sell a product. So one guy's going to just go door to door and maybe take out newspaper ads. Another guy knows about email. He could reach millions of people with a click. So each person has the ability to research what's available. So if Lovin wanted to, he could have researched genetics. So why would it be sneaking what Yaakov did?
Well, that's the question. The question is that he didn't know it. And the question is, if he doesn't know it, and you then you may, that's not the deal. I mean, that if he would know that fact, he wouldn't have made the deal. But, I mean, that's the question. Gnevis Das.
How is it Gnevis Das? You're not preventing him. You're not doing something sly. You're just using your resources, and he's not.
Yeah, but he never would agree to the deal if he knew that fact. Okay, boss. Well, I think we'll stop here.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Abby.
Thanks.
No problem.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi.
Okay, good Shabbos, guys.
Shabbos.